The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Generous God, your Son gave his life that we might come to peace with you. Give us a share of your Spirit, and in all we do, empower us to bear the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Esther. King Ahasuerus and Haman went into feast with Queen Esther. On the second day, as they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom, it shall be fulfilled." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have won your favor, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me, that is my petition, and the lives of my people, that is my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have held my peace. But no enemy can compensate for this damage to the king." Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is he and where is he who has presumed to do this?" Esther said, "A foe and enemy, this wicked Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs in attendance of the king, said, "Look, the very gallows that Haman has prepared for Mordecai, whose word saved the king, stands at Haman's house, 50 cubits high." And the king said, "Hang him on it." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that had been prepared for Mordecai. Then the anger of the king abated. Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in the province of the king Ahasuerus, both near and far, enjoining them that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar, and also the 15th day of the same month, year by year, as the days in which the Jews gained relief from their enemies, as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and presents to the poor. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 124 responsively. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel now say,
"If the Lord had not been on our side when enemies rose up against us,
then would they have swallowed us up alive and in their fierce anger towards us?
Then would the waters have overwhelmed us and the torrents gone over us.
Then would the raging waters have gone right over us.
Blessed be the Lord, who had not given us over to the prey by their teeth.
We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we have escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen." The second reading is a reading from James. "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you who wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone was hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. For it is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
I want to tell you about Lawrence. I met Lawrence a good number of years ago in South Dakota, and in this small town, everyone knew Lawrence, either in person or by reputation. He had a three-wheel bike that was often seen parked in front of the corner bar, but it was never seen parked in front of the church. Well, one Sunday, Lawrence just appeared at church for a Sunday service. Now, this created quite a stir. A small rural community, small church. Not very often did we ever get a visitor, and it was very unusual to have Lawrence appear in the church. The next Sunday, he was back again. So I made an appointment with him for later in that week that I would come and visit with him. So I got to his house, Now, I'm being rather generous here to call it a house. It was a shed with little warts, other little sheds, lean-tos attached to it. What he was most proud of in his little shed was the ceiling fan that he had attached with a pipe sticking through the roof and then a ring of tin cans that powered the ceiling fan. So this house where Lawrence lived was very small, not as big as the chancel, and I took my place. He said, pull up a chair. There was a tree stump next to the potbelly stove, which pretty much took up the whole thing. Lawrence wasn't feeling well, and he was laying down on this shelf cot that was attached to the far wall. And we started to talk, and it was a very interesting visit, to say the least. He said, I was reading the Bible. Now, I don't know what surprised me more, that he was reading or that he had a Bible. But he said, I was reading the Bible, and I want to know if this is what you all do. He read the part that said from James that we just listened to, are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Do you do that? He wanted to know. And I told him that we did. And then he told me that he was sick. He said that he had gotten a not so good prognosis when he had gone to the VA hospital earlier that spring. So we made a date for later on in that month when I would return with one of my colleagues and we would pray with him. So when I got there for the second visit, I found Lawrence waiting. He was ready for this visit. And I read that whole passage that we just heard that Aide read for us from the letter of James. At the end of that, I asked Lawrence, as this verse starts out, if anyone has sins to confess, let them confess. So I asked Lawrence, do you have any sins that you would like to confess? Now, like I said, this was a small town, and I've long heard many stories about Lawrence. And, well, he was the town drunk. And every winter, for the past number of years, he would check himself into one of the nursing homes in the county. Never able to stay all winter long, though. He would get kicked out sometime through the winter. He would be kicked out. Rules and Lawrence just didn't go on the same page. He just couldn't abide by all the rules. So when I asked Lawrence, do you have any sins you want to confess, there was this quiet time, this long pause, and he said, yeah, I need to make some peace. I felt like I was on holy ground. I was in the presence of someone who was calling on God in a way that I had not experienced before. There I was sitting next to this potbelly stove in that little shed, and someone praying so sincerely and deeply for forgiveness, for health, for healing. So we prayed. He prayed, I prayed, my colleague prayed. We anointed Lawrence with oil, and we prayed for healing and for forgiveness. That book of James was written for a Christian community that must have been having some struggles. The lessons and the instructions in that book indicate that the community was in the midst of trouble. Some people were not being honest in their speech. Some people were suffering physically. Some were in despair. Some were in need of forgiveness. You don't write about the need for confession, for intercessory prayer, or for healing unless there is sin and trouble and sickness. Now, I don't think the perfect Christian community exists anywhere. We are way too much caught in our human condition to be without sin or troubles or sickness. Wherever two or three are gathered, there's gossip and pride. There's selfishness and there's dishonesty. There's disease. There's addiction. There's trouble. This is the situation that James saw. And this is what he presented as an opportunity for the community to see God's gifts, an opportunity to see some spiritual practices that could move the community from those difficulties, those struggles, those troubles, into a place of relationship with God. These spiritual practices that can lead to forgiveness, to a relationship with God in prayer, and to healing. In James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Confess your sins to one another." We are all sinners. That is our human condition. Excuse me. And the only way out of our sin is to confess our sin, to name our sin, and then claim our forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We begin every Sunday service at the foot of the cross by the font, remembering that it's through baptism that we begin this relationship with God, that it's at the foot of the cross where we find our forgiveness. So we claim our sin. We acknowledge our sinfulness. We acknowledge and claim God's forgiveness in Jesus' name. We hear those words of absolution and know ourselves to be able to stand in relationship with God as our sins are confessed and absolved, forgiven, and that we are connected again to one another and to Jesus Christ. Verse 16 continues, "Pray for one another." This is a spiritual practice of intercessory prayer. If you have ever experienced people praying for you, then you know the power of this gift. We have a wonderful practice here at St. Peter's where we say aloud the names of loved ones in public prayer every day. Every Sunday, you hear these names over and again. Some of the names you know. Some of the people are church members sitting right next to us. Other names are people that you don't know, but you know that they are loved and cared for by someone else who cared enough to say, "Put this person's name on the prayer list so we can remember them, lift them up, hold them in front of God's mercy." My husband Don was a great believer in intercessory prayer. I have a very clear image of him sitting every morning with his cross in one hand and the parish directory in the other hand. And he would prayerfully read each name in our parish directory, and he would pray for each one of you every single day by name. That intercessory prayer, how we pray for one another, is one of those spiritual practices that is indeed a gift to our community.
And the third spiritual practice that we get from this verse in James is healing. And I think this is the most difficult part of this verse. Many of us have kind of a bad taste in our mouth from these TV healers that I grew up watching on television with their bogus schemes of physical healings or money raising. But that's not the only aspect of healing that James is talking about. The same root word that gives us healing also gives us the words health, wholeness, and holy. It isn't about curing. It's about healing. It's about relationship. Healing comes with confession and with intercessory prayer, and that is about our relationship with one another and our relationship with God. Jesus Christ was the great physician who reached out with healing hands and brought health and wholeness to the world. Now, the gospel lesson for today sounds like the exact opposite of that, with the lopping off of your limbs and being thrown into that unquenchable fire. But those can be words of healing too. If we understand that it's a cutting away of the sin, removing the growth that will cause our death if it's left untreated. Jesus wants us to be healthy and whole, and he intercedes on our behalf to be healed and holy. Well, let me finish the story about Lawrence. His lifestyle didn't really change all that much, but he did make some attempts. He came to church most Sunday mornings, and people began to expect to see his three-wheeled bike parked right in front of the church. It wasn't perfect. Someday I'll tell you the story about me trying to lift a very, very drunk Lawrence off of his bike before the bishop arrived at the church for a special service. It was quite a scene. We both ended up flat on the ground. It wasn't perfect, but Lawrence was reconciled with his brother, who lived at the other end of the road on the same farm property. And he was reconciled with that church community that he had grown up in. And they came to see him no more as the town drunk, the man that people kind of snickered at, but they came to see him in a matter of short months as a brother in Christ. When Lawrence died later that year, no one was really surprised, because he was old, he was very sick, and he had certainly not taken care of himself in his life. But that Christian community had prayed for healing. And we remembered together at his memorial service these words from James. The prayer of the sick, or the prayer of faith, will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And we knew that this wasn't about physical healing, standing up and walking away healthy. But this had another meaning. This is talking about resurrection, which with eyes of faith we can see as the ultimate healing, the ultimate wholeness and holiness. Sometimes there is physical healing when we pray for someone. Sometimes there is a relational healing, like with Lawrence and his brother, and with Lawrence and the church community. And sometimes there's a spiritual healing, that God comes into our lives and we know ourselves as forgiven and made holy and whole. When we have done something or said something that we have later regretted,
when our sinful self has overshadowed our saintly self, we must listen to God's invitation to confess. When we are in some kind of trouble or know someone who is in some kind of difficulty, we must listen to God's invitation to intercede through prayer. When we find that illness or suffering is part of our life or the life of someone close to us, we must listen to God's offer of healing. These words of James, written over 2,000 years ago, are just as relevant today. God's gifts to us, gifts of confession, these spiritual practices are God's gifts to us. The gift, the practice of confession, of intercessory prayer, and of healing. This is good news for us today. These are God's continuing gifts for us. James wrote, "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sin will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." Amen.